You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. For a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, in the expeditionary mode from Washington, D.C. And for the first time in about three broadcasts, everything's working right. Yeah, how about that? You know how the software updates on your computer? When that happens and changes, like, audio switches, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you haven't, you haven't changed anything. But it's changed. So that's what I was dealing with. So anyway, that gremlin's fixed. That's done. So hopefully everything will roll right tonight or today here. The came to D.C. to go to a gala, and went to that last night at the Chamber of Commerce building, which is on across from the front entrance of the White House. There's a park. What's that called? Lafayette Park? On the other side of Lafayette Park is the Chamber of Commerce headquarters building. So an organization called Hill Vets, which is designed to bring people to D.C., veterans to D.C., and then go ahead and put them up, help them get into the business that governs the nation. And so they hosted the event, and I was honored as one of the 100 impactful veterans of 2018. And so very cool night, and got a chance to meet a bunch of people, and it was I met you meet people and you interview them, right? And that's kind of what I do for a living. So last night, sitting there watching the program as it's going and dinner and all of that, and I see this thing about Dog Tag Bakery, right? And so, so I'm watching this, and and I'm checking out, and I'm like, wow, Dogtag Bakery. That's how All Marine Radio, honestly, got its start. Yeah, exactly. And they were a finalist for one of the awards last night. And so, so they had this little video of Dogtag Bakery. And I'm watching it. And so I'm sitting there, and I look over, and I see the Dogtag Bakery lady sitting in a table next to me. And I thought, I know. I interviewed her, I think. So I'm looking at her. I'm looking at the picture on the screen. I'm like, that's the same person. And so I'm like, what's her name? And her name is Megan Ogilvie, right? She's the CEO. And so I'm watching. She gets up to go someplace, and I stood up and I introduced myself, and I said hi. I said, we've never met. I'm Mike McNamara. And she looks, and I said, from All Marine Radio. And she laughs, and we shake hands. Let me tell you, Megan Ogilvie, she's funny, man. She is funny. So, talked to her, and then she introduced me to another Marine. His name's Greg Parsons, and he's the CEO of an organization called Semper Capital Management. Former infantry officer, got out as a captain. And then went to, he's from New York City, or Westchester, New York, and went back to New York City. He's pretty funny, too. So, had a chance to hang out with them last night. And so, Greg, one of the things they do is they're putting on a play. Yeah, he's like, what the hell do I know about putting on a play? But right now, I want to say, it's called Last Out. Elegy, not eulogy, elegy of a Green Beret. I don't even know what elegy means. Written by Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann. United States Army retired. You've heard the war stories of the first in this untold story of war. So, so I got a chance to hang out with them and talk to them, and just a great time. And then Susan Hammond works with them too. They were all down. So just, you know, you meet fun people. Got a chance to hang out with Josh Goldberg and Ken Falk. And Josh and Ken actually had been in D.C. all day, which is not really what they do, but they had been doing some stuff on a measure called Post-Traumatic Growth Initiative, I think. And so they had been either testifying or in meetings on the Hill all day. And so they were recognized as the nonprofit organization of the year. How about that? Yeah, that's pretty legit. So there's all these guys in tuxedos, which I didn't particularly care for, but that's the way they do it, right? This is Washington, D.C., the home of big money. And you got everybody got a business card except me. I forgot mine. But my son told me, like, Dad, business cards, thing of the past, man. I'm on LinkedIn. That's what we say. I said, all right, that's what I'll say. So I bombed up my LinkedIn profile on my phone. They're like, do you have a card? I said, no, man, who has cards? That's so like yesterday. Here's my LinkedIn profile. Why don't you just take a picture of it? Okay. So that's how I got out of it. So, I owe a big thank you to Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg, and for my nomination, because that's my link to that organization, and they've been exceedingly gracious to me. And got a chance to, work with Josh down in North Carolina when we did a post-traumatic winning for the 2nd Marine Division. And so good stuff. Good stuff. The and again, it was great to see them get recognized for all the work that they've done. And again, not only as the work they do at Boulder Crest, but also advocating and raising public awareness. And they do a whole bunch of stuff, so pretty active. And so so good for them. Josh got up there, made a little speech. Yeah. So no. Good night. D.C., beautiful at night, right across the White House. And then afterwards, we went to a bar. Looks like an old speakeasy. You go downstairs and underneath the building. But and then hung out and kind of shot the shit for a few hours until got too late and then went home. I have to tell you, though, that I'm really, I like the whole East Coast thing, man. You can get up at like, if you get up at 6, you got 4 hours before the show goes on. You can do everything. You would not believe what I've done this morning. I've been on the phone. To the, who sent me this email? Yeah, I'm at this party yesterday. All of a sudden my phone rings. And let me tell you this story. So it's from the U.S. Patent Office. So it's the Office of Patents and Trademarks. And so I'm trademarking, post-traumatic winning, right? The term didn't exist before I coined it. So anyway, got to protect your intellectual property, right? So all of a sudden my jacket vibrates. So I look. It's a DC number. So I answer it. And it's an attorney from the U.S. Patents Office. And it's in the middle of this reception, so I kind of walk over to a corner, and she says, "Do you have a minute?" I said, "Well, how many minutes will you need?" And she said, "Only a few," and I said, "Absolutely." So she said, "It looks like everything's in order. There's a couple things that we have to do, though. The term post-traumatic, right? That's not part of the trademark. We have to put a little disclaimer on there, right? So it's the phrase post-traumatic winning, not the words post-traumatic themselves." I said, "I got it." She said, "Then you got to amend your application." But I say this about Crystal. She was the most competent customer service person or somebody who's ever contacted to help me. She's not really a customer service person. To explain to me exactly, okay, here's what you do. I'm going to send you written directions on how to do this, okay? And what you submitted was your logo. What we need kind of examples from your website of how you use this phrase. And I hope you don't mind, but I took a couple screenshots of your website and I'm sending those to you so that you can include them in your application. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, hello? Who is this? Yeah. Who is this? And so then she puts it all in, she typed it all. I don't know. It's like a full page email. Go to this line, do this, check this, and guess what? It was all right too. So, yeah. So that happened just during the middle of the party, and so that made it good, and pretty productive party when your trademark's about to go through, your trademark phrase is about to go through, and. Very, very cool. Very cool stuff. So I was happy about that. So I finished up her instructions this morning, fired that thing back in, and post-traumatic winning is going to officially belong to me because I invented it and I paid for it. Yeah. Boom. Take that. So what are we going to do on the program today? today, I have to look up the history of this, right? I have to look up history of this. I met a bunch of other people too last night. I got a bunch of business cards. But let me tell you, by far, the highlight of the night, Megan Ogilvie, man. She's a piece of work. She's daughter of a Marine. And, she's not afraid to let it rip either. What the hell, Megan? You need to relax there, girlfriend. But it's always funny. You know, the other thing is hanging out with Marines. You know, you never meet somebody, but you're both Marines. And it happens to be, we're both infantry officers. He went through IOC a couple years after I had left. So Greg Parsons, fun to hang out with. And he's a Yankee fan. Yankees blew it up yesterday, so we talked about that. So it was all good. It was a good time. So, anywho, what we're doing today, the chef's going to join us. And then today's kind of like Vietnam Day. Do you remember, Bob Mills was talking about it a year ago? And they kind of, I don't know the rationale between National Vietnam Veterans Day. Why do those guys get their own day? I don't get it. Yeah. Vietnam War Veterans Day, March 29th. Like, these guys are special. This is how Armistice Day turned into Veterans Day, don't you know? Yeah. So after World War I, right, they have Armistice Day. When the veterans of World War I, used to be saluted, blah, 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 blah. Well, the guys came home from World War II and they said, hey, this is bullshit, man. Why did they get their own day? Right? Why do they get their own day? And so they changed it from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. Exactly. So now the Vietnam veterans get their own day? Always got to be special. National Vietnam War Veterans Day on March 29th honors the men and women who served and sacrificed during the longest conflict in American history. I don't think that's factually correct anymore. I think Afghanistan has gone by Vietnam. But anywho, it was on March 29th, 1973, when combat and combat support units withdrew from South Vietnam. Generations later, Vietnams of this time period are gaining the respect that was not so freely given upon their return. I don't even know if I like the way that's written. They're gaining the respect? I don't know that I'd write it like that. I would write something like, the idiots who failed to acknowledge the sacrifice of those who selflessly served the nation over the course of 50 years have come to regret their behavior, and now even the stupidest among us recognizes the contribution that Vietnam veterans who served made. Around the country, commemorative events, speeches, luncheons will be held, inviting Vietnam veterans as honored guests. Thank a Vietnam veteran. Buy them a drink or lunch. Send them a shout-out using hashtag Vietnam War Veterans Day on social media. The history behind this. U.S. Senators Pat Toomey, Republican, Pennsylvania, and Joe Donnelly, Democrat, Indiana, introduced legislation in 2017 to honor Vietnam veterans with a day on the anniversary of the withdrawal of military units from South Vietnam. President Donald Trump signed the Vietnam War Veterans Day Act on March 28, 2017, calling for U.S. flags to be flown on March 29th for those who served. So, there you have it. So, Happy Veterans Day to all you Vietnam dudes out there. Jack Riley, Barney Barnum, Butch Neal, Tony Zinni, the one and only Bob Nielsen, who will join us in the third hour today. So excited about that. And then the chef will join us in the second hour. So we'll catch up with the chef. So anyway, good morning on this Friday morning from Washington, D.C. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Whitney Houston makes this day official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to Hillbats for a very gracious event last night, and again humbled to be a part of that, and also to the guys who introduced me to that whole group, Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg. Congratulations to them, and thank you to them. But this is dedicated to both those groups, Boulder Crest Retreats guys, Ken and Josh, and everybody at Hillcrest, everybody at Hillbats. For making it such an enjoyable evening.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. Standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speed. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Listen to this Ohio man, like, out of nowhere, is like, starts giving me grief this morning about not knowing too much about Ireland. I'm not Irish, man. I'm American. I'm a Native American. I was born here. I don't know any place else. Right? I muse about Ireland like I muse about many things on the planet. I'm not one of those people that I'm not that dude, okay? Je suis American. Currently cloudy and 55 in Quantico. Sunny and 60 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy and 63 in Granbury, Texas. In 29 Palms, it's sunny and 48. So it's cooled off in California again. At Pendleton, it is, that can't be right, can it? 41 degrees? I don't think that's right. Hold on. These temperatures just loaded a little bit ago. Maybe it is right. 55 in Quantico, 65 in Camp Lejeune, 66 under partly sunny skies in Granbury, sunny and 50 in 29 Palms, sunny and 42 at Pendleton, 1 degree warmer. Night. Cloudy, dark and 73 in Okinawa. In Al Anbar, it's clouds and 71 in Marja in Afghanistan. Clear, dark, and 69, so warmed up there. The home of All Marine Radio, where I'm currently not at, it is sunny and 53 degrees in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area. That is a look at your weather. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll check some news headlines on a Friday as we all head into the weekend. Opening day of Major League Baseball was yesterday. Yankees just ripped it up. In the Bronx. So all is right now. All isn't right. But it's at least a little bit happier when I think when baseball is going on. So that's good. Don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio. We'll check news headlines coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nilsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Alright, listen to the harmony, okay? That's what we listen for.
But right now it's just me.
Called Hurt, and the song's called Hurt. The artist is Peyton Davis. She's a tribal member. You can find it on iTunes, Google, Amazon, all your major retail conglomerates that are crushing the life out of everybody else. Yeah. You can get it there. Kind of an interesting story this morning. That's kind of laid, well, not kind of. It is the work of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joe Dunford. So, headline, Troxel is back. The military's top enlisted advisor is reinstated to duty after an investigation. Army Command Sergeant Major John Troxel, the senior enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is back. Troxel was temporarily suspended from his duties last September while the Army Inspector General looked into allegations of misconduct. Those allegations were never specified, and for months Troxel has not been allowed to discuss the case. According to a statement released by Dunford's office, the violations included the improper use of U.S. military personnel to conduct tasks not associated with their official duties, such as personal errands and improper endorsement of commercial fitness and nutrition products on official SCAC social media platforms. However, importantly, quote, Troxel received no personal or monetary gain from these endorsements, Dunford said. Troxel maintains an active social media presence that is centrally focused on getting forces to meet physical fitness standards, and many of his online posts include shots of workout gear or workout recovery food or drink. His most well-known post, however, involved a shovel and a warning. Do you remember this? When he said that, look, you can either surrender or we'll kill you with extreme prejudice, whether that be through security force assistance, by dropping bombs, shooting them in the face, or beating them to death with our E-tools. Since then, right, he's autographed hundreds of E-tools. Now, so, it was found that he did all those things, but he didn't monetarily benefit, which I guess is the test. Dunford said the violations were weighed against the entirety of Troxel's 37-year career, and that Dunford took appropriate administrative action and made the decision to reinstate the command sergeant major to his position. I carefully weighed the gravity of CSM Troxel's ethics violations against his 37 years of dedicated military service and superb leadership, to include 19 as a sergeant major. Appropriate corrective action has been taken. I'm confident that the senior enlisted advisor to the chairman has learned from his experience. I am equally confident in his competence and capability to continue serving as our senior enlisted leader, which is why I reinstated him to his duties as SEAC, Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Chairman. Got it? All right. Now it's time to move on and get back to the important work we have before us. So, you know, you just don't see that very often. Most people run away from those kind of events. Another kind of interesting story that I don't know if it's clickbaitish, but it kind of falls along those lines. There's a dating app called Grindr, right? Grindr. The gay version of that, or it just might be the gay portion of that, declared a threat to military personnel by the U.S. government. A Chinese gaming company has decided to sell the popular LGBTQ dating app Grindr after a U.S. National Security panel declared the app to be a threat to service members. This came out of Reuters. Beijing Kulan Tech Company, LTD, which has owned the California-based dating app since 2016, decided to sever ties at the behest of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS, which pointed to major concerns over personal data app users, notably military and intelligence personnel, being made publicly available. The app, which labels itself the largest social networking app for gays, bis, trans, and queer people, came under intense heat last year when it was revealed that the app was releasing the HIV status of users without their permission. Whoa. The Chinese, man. Right. The Chinese. Unbelievable. In recent years, the panel has also blocked the sale of the money transfer company MoneyGram to Chinese business owners, the report said. The Trump administration has been at the forefront of scrutinizing Chinese cyber practices. Earlier this month, President Trump accused Google in a tweet of helping China and the military, but not the U.S. General Joe Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said Google's artificial intelligence venture in China and other U.S. companies' businesses in the country indirectly benefit the Chinese military and create a challenge for the United States as it seeks to maintain its competitive advantage. Supposedly, Google's going to meet with the chairman. Defense News. This is a week ago. Dunford to meet with Google for debate on Chinese ties. Let me just tell you. One of the things about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is that he's one of the most down-to-earth people you'll ever meet. He comes from working people, grew up working, comes from working family, and puts on no airs. He's as pleasant a guy as you'll ever meet. Okay? And underneath that, he's probably the smartest guy in the room. Okay? He connects dots that most people don't connect, and then he's able to take those dots, and he launches them over the horizon to link it to something that's coming, and you sit there and go, holy shit, no wonder he's where he is today. But it's not readily apparent, right? Because he's such a pleasant guy. And he's such a personable guy, and he helps people. So it takes you a while before you're, because, I mean, that's kind of disarming in its own way. But anyway, this is from Defense News. For the second time in a week, the Pentagon's top uniformed officer has taken a shot at Google, warning that the tech company's investments in China are doing long-term damage to America's security. General Joe Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said he also plans to meet with the tech giant to debate about its roles and responsibilities as a commercial enterprise versus how much the firm owes to America as its home nation. quote, in my judgment, us assisting the Chinese military in advancing technology is not in the U.S. national interest. So, it's a debate we can have, Dunford said, at a Thursday event hosted by the Atlantic Council. His comments followed up a statement made in a Senate hearing the week prior where he said, quote, Google was indirectly benefiting the Chinese military by its operations in the communist nation. Asked to follow up on those conversations Thursday, the chairman expressed the belief that no company can do work for China without it being siphoned off. Now, but everybody knows that, right? The problem is, and this is what Google does. We'll set up our headquarters in the United States because they protect our intellectual capital. Okay? And we need that. I mean, one of the few nations on the planet that protects intellectual property. But, I mean, come on. We're not going to, like, pass up the Chinese market. It's too big. It's too big. I mean, come on. After all, we do want to make money. So, okay, so let me get this straight. You want to be headquarters in the United States, and then you want to act in a way that's contrary to the interests of the United States where you're headquarters. Yes, exactly what we want to do. Oh, okay, I get it now. And then try to look at you, and then they try to justify the decision, right? So the way that it works in China is if you go there to do business, you have to have a partner, unless they exempt you for some reason. And guess who has access to all of that partner's technology? The Chinese government, right? Chief among them, the intelligence people and the technology people. Dunford goes on, typically if a company does business in China, they are automatically going to be required to have a cell of the Communist Party in that company. And that is going to lead to that intellectual property from the company finding its way to the Chinese military. It is a distinction without a difference between the Chinese Communist Party, the government, and the military. Ventures to develop artificial intelligence in China are going to do two things. They're going to help an authoritarian government to assert its control over its own population. Again, our country exists for the individual. China exists for the Chinese Communist Party. You know, it's not much of a debate. He will speedbag them. And first of all, I hope they do it in public, right? And it'll be awesome to watch. Yeah, General Dunford debates the snowflakes. Really? We didn't know all that. We thought there was just a bunch of poppycock that you crazy military people were making up. They actually had jails in China? Who knew that? Concentration camps? What? Islamic people in concentration camps? Come on. Nobody does that anymore.
Nobody but the Chinese.
Really? This is heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. Right. Just like when your country goes away, it's heartbreaking. Dunford goes on. The second thing that it's going to do is it's going to enable the Chinese military to take advantage of the technology that is developed in the United States. Why is it developed in the United States? Why is Silicon Valley in the United States? Because of our system of the government enabling the individual and their ideas to bubble up and advance the world. Whether it's medically, in education, artificial intelligence, you name it. So, stand by. Film at 11. This is awesome, though. Right? He's a smart guy. He goes on in that article. Quote, I just think we need to have a debate about that. We ought not to think that it is just about business when we do business with China. This is about us looking at the second and third order effects of our business ventures in China, the Chinese form of government, and the impact it's going to have on the United States' ability to maintain a competitive military advantage and all that goes with it. I'm happy to have the debate. This is not about me and Google. So when he says this is not about me and Google, what do we know? It's about him and Google. It's about him and Google, but again, it's what China's done in terms of weaponizing the size of their economy and using it against other people that are that want, you know, that are trying to raise the standard of living in their country. Well, if you sell them to China, you can raise a lot of boats in your country, right? And then when you don't do what they say, they pinch it off and they put you at great political harm. Well, who wants that? Nobody. Politicians, that's right, take a knee, easy way up. Up for leadership? Nope. Up for confrontation? Nope. So there you have it. So it's so interesting little story coming out of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. My second one for the day, the Troxell thing is pretty interesting too. Because most of that, when there's the appearance of impropriety at that level, people go away. All right, top five stories in Early Bird on this Friday. Did I mention the Yankees won yesterday in fine fashion on a beautiful day in Yankee Stadium? Oh, yeah, I guess I did. Number one, Troxell's back. So we already talked about that. Two, when will Trump nominate a permanent Secretary of Defense? See, the problem with that is that it makes the president look bad because nobody of substance wants the job. That's his issue. So what he's done is he's kind of shuffled people inside of his own cabinet, people that are already approved, so it doesn't look bad when he gets turned down by different people. Now, I would think that on the down low, maybe they've approached somebody, right, who they know is beyond reproach in terms of being confirmed. So we'll see. But I think the search for the chief of staff did not go very well. So promoted from within. And if you're going to replace Mattis, and they were on the outs for a long time, supposedly nobody would take the job. Which the president said wasn't true, but come on, would you? Would you go be his dancing chicken? I wouldn't. Well, maybe I would for a couple months. I'd quit. And I'd have a big press conference. And then put a letter on the table and say, I'm out. In the 70 years before 2019, the Department of Defense has never gone more than 2 months without a permanent leader. Now President Donald Trump's administration is poised to double that weight. The post formerly filled by Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has been open since January 1st, a leadership void that has drawn criticism in increasing amounts from lawmakers. Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman Jim Inhofe, Republican Oklahoma, has expressed the Trump administration repeatedly has pressed the Trump administration repeatedly for quicker action to fill the vacancy. Pat Shanahan, bobblehead. President Trump likes bobbleheads. He says he likes smart guys, tough guys. He doesn't, right? He doesn't. Number three, Air Force grounds B-1 bomber fleet to inspect ejection seats. So you got that going on. That means it's a slow news day if a maintenance item like that is in the news. Number four, Afghan forces could turn guns on Kabul without U.S. air support, cash, and troops, among other warnings. Ooh. Remember when we talked about the sitting down to make a peace agreement without the Afghan government as a part of it? Yeah. Afghanistan remains dependent on the U.S.-led coalition to combat insurgencies, pay Afghan troops, maintain oversight of corruption, and generally just prevent the country from devolving into chaos. But you know what I think is going to happen? If and when we leave, it will devolve into chaos. And I think the last time we had somebody on talking about it, who was that? We talked about the government controlling the cities, and then the Taliban controlling the countryside. The Taliban not having enough ass to get into the cities, and the city-states continuing to function. And then the Taliban control everything between them. So we shall see. But I just honestly, I don't get it. How do you think you're going to carve out peace without host nation participation? I'm not sure about that. Five, more Iraq and Afghanistan troops survived critical injuries as the war went on. No kidding, man. No kidding. Interesting story in Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes. I'm a big fan of Stars and Stripes. I never used to be because it was just kind of like the DOD rag, I thought. But I'll tell you what, on a daily basis, if you check it, you're going to see articles that you don't see in other publications. Yeah, how about that? Let's see. There's a series of inventions that have come to the market, right? This story about casualty rates. Survival among the most critically injured increased threefold during the course of both conflicts, almost 9% at the beginning of the war to 33% of those critically injured survived. In Afghanistan, the increase in survival was even more dramatic, from 2% to 40% by the end of 2017. Quote, "We knew survival had improved. It was just a little surprising how much it improved," said Jeffrey Howard, professor at the University of Texas San Antonio and lead author of a study published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's huge gains. The study identified the use of tourniquets, pre-hospital blood transfusions, and transport to combat hospitals within 60 minutes as the three primary factors in improved survival rates. I would tell you that the biggest thing, you know, even going back to Iraq at the start of the war, you know, our medevac system was pretty good, right? And it's gotten better, you know, but not hugely better. The thing that did get better was the use of tourniquets. And first of all, the tourniquets they put in everybody's first aid kit, for, you know, those of you who remember, like, the little green box that was a first aid kit, that's not a first aid kit anymore. Okay. The little green box, no moss. The first aid kit is now huge. It's huge. Called it IFAC, Individual First Aid Kit. And it's a monstrosity. But in there's rubber tourniquets. And you throw those things on pretty quick, and you tighten them down, and you're going to stop most of the bleeding. Yeah. And then there's also other things like that, quick clot, that helps staunch other bleeding. And so, yeah, so you can see. So, again, in terms of casualties defined as critically injured, now, I don't know how we don't categorize them like that, right? We categorize them as urgent, priority, and routine. We used to have a category called urgent surgical, which meant this guy's or girl is really, really, really in a bad way, and you got to get here now. So, which differentiated, you know, you could get your leg blown off, and it could be tourniqueted, and you're all right, right? You could be an urgent casualty. They have you stabilized there. So if there's other priorities that have been blown up and they're competing, go get those first. This guy's all right. You would hear that. And then you would get urgent surgical means this guy's going to die. So, and then because urgent surgical wasn't a NATO term, I was told, we dropped it. But, I mean, listen to the numbers. So somebody who is categorized as critically injured by the study, survival rate in Iraq was 9% at the beginning of the war. It went to 33%. Now, this is among, you know, native troops, right? Iraqis and Afghans, not us, right? In Afghanistan, the survival was even more dramatic, 2% in 2001 to 40% in 2017. That's amazing. Quote, given that the primary cause of death in combat trauma is hemorrhage, these findings are not surprising, the study says. The key lesson from 16 years of conflict is that military trauma system advancements may be associated with increased survival, echoing historical themes of continued improvements to hemorrhage control and blood replacement and reducing time for treatment. Using tourniquets and stepping up response times with helicopter flights to hospitals happened as military trauma systems expanded, adapted, and improved over the decade-plus conflict. The whole golden hour thing, right? So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. All right, we'll take a break. The chef is supposed to join us this morning, but I sent him a text. I did not hear from him, so it I'm hopeful that he will. But in any case, we continue. Don't touch that dial. More of this program, All Marine Radio, coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world. Looking for leaders who have led under pressure and want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other agency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.